I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I'm 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look," and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Our form of government, in short, is fundamentally sound. Not so our parties and our politics. It is in this spirit that we make the case for a new center, one that does not split the difference between left and right, but offers a principled alternative to both.
That's from William Galston and Bill Kristol in a remarkable op-ed that speaks our language.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Before we get started, we want to thank everyone who's been donating to the show, and we would love to have more supporters. It helps us cover the cost of Pantsuit Politics. So if you're interested in supporting our show, you can go to pantsuitpoliticsshow.com and make a one-time donation or become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month. Thanks, guys.
So if you're new to Pantsuit Politics, you know that on our Friday episodes, we usually do a little bit about the news of the day and the Friday feedback. And I have to confess, Sarah, that I have been pretty unplugged all day today. I was doing my Leadership Northern Kentucky program that I've talked about on the show before, and I spent the day immersed in poverty. I went to a homeless shelter. I went to a place where they serve lunch every day. So I've had a kind of an out-of-body day in a lot of ways. I did see that Donald Trump has announced that he is going to appoint General Mattis to head up the Pentagon. But I really don't have an informed opinion about that yet. Is there anything that you wanted to cover in the vein of news?
No, I've also been sort of consumed by learning about my immediate political surroundings. I've done department tours for almost all 11 departments of the city of Paducah. Today I spent almost all day with the Department of Engineering and Public Works. I went from the end of the flood wall down into the deep depths of the pump station, that pumps the flood water out if necessary, among my town in the Ohio River. So it's really interesting. I spent time with 911 dispatchers and the fire department and the IT department. I've seen servers. I got to call 911, which was exciting. So I've also been pretty consumed by other things, not the national news. Just enough to know that Sarah Palin got mentioned for the VA, and I hope that's a sad, sad rumor.
I hope that's a sad rumor, too. Isn't it humbling to see everything that's in your own community and to just think about all the people who are making things happen? It's such a nice reprieve from the silliness of national politics.
Yeah, I agree.
We were sent a couple of great articles this week. I want to thank Fred and Vicky for sending these our way. And then I also found one from David Brooks. And I feel like they all have a common theme, which is that maybe our crazy moderate idea is catching on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think like undercurrent of all these things we're about to discuss is that we can all see that something is happening within our political system, that Donald Trump, whether you support him or abhor him, is not, pun intended, politics as usual.
I was listening to Chuck Todd in the car because I was in the car for a very long time since President-elect Trump is here in Cincinnati. So my normal 40-minute commute turned into an hour and 40 minutes. But I was listening to Chuck Todd talk about how in a lot of ways we have to zoom out and recognize that this election maybe means a lot and maybe means very little. Maybe it just means that 80,000 votes in three particular states made the difference. And that tells you how thin the margin is right now and what a divided country we are in terms of our political beliefs. So you could, if, you know, 80,000 votes is the difference between saying the Democratic Party is in crisis versus the Republican Party is in crisis. Right. The Democratic Party has a problem with white working class voters versus the Republican Party has a problem with Latinos. You know what I mean? Like it could have so easily been the other story. So maybe we need to step back from that. But I do think that the most productive thing to take from this election is that being so polarized is not helpful. So that's why I loved these articles, which we'll link in the show notes. They are absolutely worth your time to read. I thought we could start with the Crystal and Galston piece that we quoted at the top of the show. This appeared both in the Weekly Standard and on Brookings. And these are two complete political adversaries in a lot of ways. Crystal and Galston make the point at the beginning of the article that they've never voted for the same presidential candidate. You know, they are opposite ends of the spectrum. But they're saying that we need a new American center that upholds opportunity, security, accountability, and ingenuity as its principles. And I just love that configuration.
So the beginning of the article really appealed to me, and it sort of goes back to what I said, that I think they're all starting from this, something is going on. Can we all acknowledge something is going on? And I said, the basic institutions and principles of liberal democracy are under assault. Many of us who are defenders of this distinctive form of self-government have tended to take for granted widespread agreement on these principles. We have had confidence in the strength of these institutions. This is a complacency we can no longer afford. And that is something I think about so often since Trump's election. Like, I was talking to a listener, and I don't know, and like Vox had this thing today about like, should we normalize him and just respond to directly to the policies, when, you know, that whole quote about Trump's, the media took him seriously but not literally, his supporters took him, or literally but not seriously, his supporters took him seriously but not literally. Like, I don't know when to take him literally. I don't know when to respond to what feels like an assault on these institutions. And I guess I sort of like the way all these articles are taking it as like, okay, let's just respond to our new normal instead of acting like the only way to address, like, let's respond in a real informed political policy-oriented way instead of just acting like Trump is the end of the world and feeling like, and the only option available is to fight him. Because, you know, if Donald Trump can, if we can come out of his presidency with a less polarized nation with more choices than a bigger, deeper center, then that would be great.
I struggle with what normalize means or how it's in any way helpful. Because the truth is, we had an election and this is the outcome of the election. And I would hope that we could all at least unite around the idea that we hope for a prosperous and secure 4 years for all of us. So I just don't relate at all to the normalization conversation. What I do think is important is to uphold these institutions and to respond. I mean, I thought that his tweet about flag burning was abhorrent and deserved an outcry, that the president shouldn't be talking about violating our First Amendment as established by the Supreme Court. You know, I think the deal that he has struck with Carrier to keep some jobs in the state of Indiana raises all sorts of questions about what authority he'll be acting under as president, and that it's important to raise those issues. And I don't know if that engaging in that way is normalizing, then I guess that's what I plan to do. Because I think we have to engage in that way. If we don't, if we spend the next 4 years just saying, I refuse to normalize this guy and I'm not going to talk about any of this as though it's our reality, what does that accomplish?
Well, and it's like, I don't want to, it's just so difficult. It's how I felt this entire candidacy, because I don't want to say, it's like, how do you say, okay, I'm going to move on and just respond to this man without constantly prefacing with, like, I don't want that to be an acceptance of his racism or xenophobia or misogyny. Like, there's just so much involved in that I don't want to feel like I'm accepting, but I just can't go at, you know, 100% rage for the next 4 years. And I'd much rather say, respond to the reality that created this president and respond to what I do feel like are broken institutions that led us here. Not broken institutions, but, you know, I just feel like that, you know, when they say, I thought that was so brilliant, our institutions, our government is sound, but not so our party and our politics. And I think that's so true. And so I love that. My only complaint with this article is at the end, I wanted them to be like, here are 3 things you can do. And I'll be like, sign up to be part of the new center or whatever it is. But like, I felt like they left me hanging. Like, okay, that's great. So what do we do now?
Yeah. And they really did leave it hanging because they said, we don't know how this is going to emerge.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsuit Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special, and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pantsuit. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You guys, I love my Aura. frames. I have one in my office. I have one in my kitchen. I have given one as a housewarming gift. I have given one as Mother's Day, Father's Day. They are the most amazing gifts because this app is a game changer, in my personal opinion, in digital frames. It makes it so, so easy to get the pictures on there and even videos. It plays like you're in Harry Potter, you guys. It is the best. I love mine so much. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
David Brooks was a little bit more directive in his column this week. He talks about how Trump's authoritarian style could energize people about the Constitution in a way that's helpful. He wrote, "What's about to happen in Washington may be a little like the end of the Cold War. Bipolarity gives way to multipolarity. A system dominated by two party line powers gives way to a system with a lot of different power centers. Instead of just R's and D's, there will be a Trump-dominated populist nationalism, a more libertarian freedom caucus, a Bernie Sanders slash Elizabeth Warren progressive caucus, a Chuck Schumer slash Nancy Pelosi Democratic old guard. The most important caucus formation will be in the ideological center. There's a lot of room between the alt-right and the alt-left, between Trumpian authoritarianism and Sanders socialism. Until now, people in that space have been slow to create donor networks, slow to form think tanks, slow to build coalitions of moderate legislatures. But suddenly there's a flurry of activity between the extremes." I mean, I think that's true. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, I'm a reality TV junkie, and this season on Survivor, people are talking less about alliances and more about trust clusters, like
trust
how people will
clusters.
Yeah, and I thought that was such a great term for what could happen in our politics, where you're not always on this side or that side. You're working in this group around this topic.
Yeah, and I think we desperately need that because I don't know a way out of the muck in which we feel like it's us versus them and no one can agree on anything except that we hate each other. Like, this is how we got here. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I definitely think that there is room. And I think when you create a lot of trust clusters, it allows for people to move more freely and say, I mean, and people did that. Like, people supported Bernie Sanders and then supported Donald Trump. That is a thing that happened. I know them. I've talked to them. Like, that is a thing. So it added, you know what I mean? Like, it's just more fluid and it allows more movement.
There are issues that are ripe for that. If you think about where Rand Paul has been sometimes in relation to the Republican Party, when he talks about surveillance, right? So the balance of our security interests versus our liberty, that's the kind of issue that really could break down in very different ways than party lines. You know, there are so many topics when if you just get down to what we're really talking about, they have almost nothing to do with what you think of as traditional Democratic and Republican dogma. So this really does seem like a healthier way to move forward.
Well, and I think that with regards to sort of these, you've already seen that, right? Not just with Rand Paul, with Donald Trump, where he's going after policy positions that have never been historically Republican policy positions, as particularly his stance on trade. And so you're seeing that sort of breakdown and free-for-all already, I kind of feel like, in a way.
Because I think what people saw in Trump is certainly not strict orthodoxy around any kind of ideology. They saw instead what they interpreted to be strong leadership, or at least disruption that's necessary, right?
Yeah.
So how do you, if you're a person like me who feels really strongly about limiting government to its proper role, how do you show people that restraint can also be strong leadership? You know, that there's still a promise to deliver on there. That's a hard message.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's a very hard message. And it's because it sort of reminds me of the idea that, like, you can't really show off what you prevented.
Right.
You know, like, that's just not, it's not a winning narrative. It would have been so much worse without me.
The most frustrating research assignments I got as a young lawyer were when I was told to, like, come back and show me that no case exists that would defeat our argument. And I would always think, how am I going to prove a negative to you? Yeah. And in some ways, that is a lot of what my politics are about. But I have come to, as I've mentioned before, the realization that I'm not like a libertarian. And I think that there is a role for government. So I do think there's a place for compromise. But this gets to David Brooks' point that there are a couple of challenges for this new center. And one of them is developing a positive vision that is more than just I'm in between the two extremes. You have to rally people around something instead of just filling the space. And then he talks about, and I know that you'll appreciate this particularly, elevating a new generation of leaders so that this is not just a retread of establishment figures.
Please, that would be wonderful. I just worry about in this face of, you know, especially the ugliest presidential campaign in modern history, you know, I just worry if the leadership gap we're already experiencing with regards to political leaders will grow, or if it'll, you know, it seems to, at least among our anecdotal evidence, among our listeners, is, you know, sparked a fire more than anything. And I hope that continues to be the case. I think one of the things I keep thinking about is something my friend said she heard on the radio. I think she was listening to NPR and they were talking about, like, you just sort of have to have this reset with something. Unfortunately, she said something really terrible happening because you generationally, you just don't remember. Like, you know, the generation that remembers the Great Depression and World War II is rapidly dying. And there's no sort of generational memory of, like, how bad things can get. And I just worry a lot that what we're feeling shift is shifting rapidly and dangerous just because there's no understanding of, like, how bad this could get. It's just so often, you know, when I find myself fretting about what this new administration means and what will be the repercussions, that I go about my daily life and I look around me and I think, nobody around me is worrying about this. They have so many, they're focused on their daily lives, they're doing their thing, and the presidential election's over, and they don't love Donald Trump, and they didn't love Hillary Clinton, but it's over, and they're just ready to move on, and they're not sweating that it's the end of the world like so many of us are, you know? And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
I don't know if it is either. I do think it's a healthy thing to keep it all in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, one of the experiences that I had today, we have in Northern Kentucky only one place for adult men to seek shelter when it's cold outside. And we went to that place today and they asked us to lie in the beds for a few minutes and they turned the lights off so we could really have the experience of, like, what if this is where I had to sleep? And as I was doing that, I had a million thoughts, as you can imagine. I mean, it's not an experience that I will forget probably ever. But one of the things that I thought is, like, what are any of us doing to actually solve problems like this? Because another speaker that I heard today said, look, we could solve homelessness. This is not like curing cancer. We could figure this out. We just have to decide that we want to. This is a solvable problem.
Yeah.
And none of the antics that we're seeing, and even as, you know, things like who's going to be the new RNC chair, who's going to be the new DNC chair, even as those things are playing out, you think, like, what's actually being done to, like, solve a problem? I think that if we could center a new movement around really practical challenges like homelessness or whatever the cause, that's the same idea as that trust cluster concept, right? Let's pick a problem and try to solve it.
Well, and don't you feel like we've seen a little bit of that with criminal justice reform?
Yes, exactly. Let's bring all the stakeholders just around that topic and just do that thing. And stop all the horse trading about the other things that we want. Let's solve problems.
Does your area not have warming centers? Speaking of solving problems, sorry. You should look into this. That's what we do in Paducah. Churches open up warming centers when it's below a certain temperature so that people can come in from the cold.
That may happen. As far as, like, an actual shelter facility, I know that it's just this one.
Yeah, we only have one too.
You know, I have to mention this because the executive director of this organization would want me to, and she listens to our show. Hi, Kim. She said that every county in Kentucky has a taxpayer-funded shelter for animals, but not for humans.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other two challenges that David Brooks highlights are building a mass movement of actual voters, which I think is going to be a big conversation for anyone going forward. And that is complicated when you're talking about kind of navigating issue to issue. And then having the courage to be a swing legislative caucus, to know that you are not, you know, you're going to oscillate from side to side on different issues. So
yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was a great article. The third article that we wanted to talk about is really centered on North Carolina.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look." And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off. There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
I mean, what is going on, first of all, in North Carolina? Have they said Roy Cooper is the winner yet?
Everything that I have seen points to that being the outcome.
Yeah, but
his lead is expanding with the vote count.
Oh, my goodness. Trump won North Carolina, but so did the Democrat who challenged North Carolina's Republican governor, Pat McCrory.
What the article talks about is that this movement against McCrory really happened by an appeal to morality and empathy. So McCrory is best known on the national scene for this very discriminatory law regarding transgendered uses of restrooms. And I mean, it's a horrible law. It was passed very quickly. I think most of the people who voted for it did not understand all of its implications. But the NAACP and other groups in North Carolina really helped people understand all of those implications and understand that in economic, social, and political ways, the state was going backwards under this leadership. So the article quotes an activist as saying, when we started in 2007, there were 1.6 million poor people in North Carolina. That's a moral issue. We had not had a raise in the minimum wage. We did not have health care. We needed to strengthen our civil rights laws in this state. Though the voter suppression laws put the political focus squarely on questions of race, the moral movement managed to both explicitly address its racial animus while simultaneously expanding its reach beyond people of color. So part of the point of this article is maybe Democrats have taken identity politics too far and should be focusing instead on sort of the ethical issues behind traditionally Democratic stances. And I wondered, you know, I obviously have a reaction to that. I wondered what yours is.
No, I feel very passionately about this. I don't think that psychologically it does not work to tell someone you disagree with me, you're a racist. Calling someone a racist, I wrote a blog post about this years and years ago. Calling someone a racist shuts the conversation down and doesn't get you anywhere because people just go on the defensive. And I think that identity politics or protecting vulnerable classes of people from discrimination under the law is one of my number one political values. But it's not because I'm a better person than you that I support this. It's not because I have some, you know, elitist moral and ethical high ground in which I think that you don't care about these things. If we care, everybody cares about these things if you sell them in the right way. You know what I keep thinking about a lot? I keep thinking about the fact that I will never forget the statistic that 3 months after 9/11, Americans' number one concern was the economy. Do I think that means that Americans are terrible, awful people who did not care about the loss of life on 9/11? No, I don't. But I think it speaks to the fact that politics is about pragmatic realities in people's lives. And so if your politics are the politics of affecting the poor and other vulnerable classes of people, then you say, you know, I also don't believe people are altruistic. So you don't say, do this because the good people care about these things. You say, this is the political impact of mistreating people like this. This is the economic impact of mistreating people in this way and excluding them from our economy. This is the positive impact on your life if we get everybody to the table. And this is why this is important. And now there is institutionalized racism that is not going to respond to a certain extent to logical, pragmatic, and even empathetic arguments. And I totally get that. But I don't think that those people that won't respond and they're stuck in their, you know, like don't care, like, I don't think you win or lose on convincing those people. I think there is a huge center of people who will respond to those arguments if presented in the right way. And I think maybe North Carolina shows that.
I agree with that. I think that's true about issues of climate change. I mean, I think that's true across the board. You know, if we would stop putting it in terms of you believe in science or you don't, mm-hmm. right? But just, hey, we have an obligation to be good stewards of our planet. I think that everyone rallies around that, you know? And there's always a matter of degree, but that's okay. That's the conversation to have. Not you're ignorant and a denier of science or scientists are terrible people who don't believe in anything bigger than themselves. You know what I mean? Like, we just cast everything in these terms that are so divisive and so stark. Just, it feels like we're looking for a fight right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think this article goes a little far and definitely is about Democratic strategy at the end of the day, which, I obviously don't have a stake in. But I think that if you seize on to this idea of a new center and these sort of political trust clusters, I do think that emphasizing empathy is a really good strategy because that's not just empathy for people or causes that you're trying to serve, but for the people you are trying to unite with you to serve those causes and people.
What I've been thinking about is that it's not just even empathy. I've been thinking a lot about the section in J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy. You know, one of his big arguments is that people have lost the feeling of agency in their own lives. And he talks a lot about how the military gave him back agency and he felt like he had control over what was going to happen to him. And he says, he makes the argument that Democrats, by presenting government as the sole solution, remove agency from people's lives. Under the same token, Republicans, by presenting government as the sole cause of all problems in people's lives, also remove agency. And I feel like that is a good path to the center from people, where we say, we want to give everyone agency in their lives. And we acknowledge that not everybody starts from the same path. And they have a really good paragraph about this in the New Center, that, you know, not everybody it's not about everybody crossing the finish line, but it's about acknowledging that everybody's not starting at the same starting point, and really emphasizing this idea of agency. And so getting people to a place where they feel like they have control and can make choices over their own lives, because I think that the more cynical approach within particularly, you know, the Republican Party has presented this as like the government is this all, you know, the cause of all your problems, and these people are milking the government, and, you know, don't you hate that, and don't you think that's unfair that you work hard and everybody else gets by on a free ride, this sort of narrative, and just chipping away with that. And I feel like agency is a sort of a more appealing argument in a way than empathy.
I like that too. I think that speaks to the need to think about things differently. Chad and I just watched Poverty Inc., which was such a great documentary, and it talked about how if you are 40 years later still trying to attack poverty in the same way that you had been for the last 40 years, that doesn't work. You need to try something new. It's time to change. And I think that that's kind of where we are with a lot of problems and politically. You know, we've been doing the same thing for a while now. It doesn't work. It's time to try something new. And if looking at people as individuals with unique circumstances and the ability to make decisions about their own lives can have a greater role in the conversation without that meaning that we completely turn off the lights on all of the support mechanisms for those folks, then I think a lot of people could rally around that kind of strategy.
So thanks for joining us for another episode. We hope that this idea of the New Center is something all of you can rally around. Until then, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Pantsuit Politics. Until then, keep it nuanced.